We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Welcome back, and we have another treat for you. Bob Walks on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And Bob's appearance brought to you in part by Gutter Helmet. Safeguard your gutters with Gutter Helmet by Ledner Home Solutions, 888-5-HELMET. Also brought to you by the fine folks at Allegiant Federal Credit Union. Shape your future. Visit AllegiantFCU.org. Bob, hitting is way down in baseball this season, on pace for the fewest hits since 1968, which I believe was the year they lowered the mound. Do you consider this any kind of crisis? Would you recommend any kind of changes? We had Mike McHenry on the other day, and I wondered about moving the pitching rubber back a little bit. And he said that wouldn't work, that the nasty breaking stuff that these guys have would get even nastier. Your thoughts on this whole situation?
You know, I think it's gone up and down, you know, over the years. And they've always done things that are, you know, real, you know, kind of like a knee-jerk reaction, I think. You know, it was going down, and then it was the everybody blamed the shifts. Oh, it's the shifts. Well, the heck, it's down further now than it ever was with shifting. Maybe we need to bring the shifting back, open up some holes on the other side or something. So rule changes to me are ever, that's the first place everybody goes, and I hate it. And, you know, I think the rules need to be stable. And over the last couple of decades, we've gone crazy with them, moved them all around. So I really wouldn't do anything and figure that it'll come back up. You know, I think the problem with, you know, with the pitching is there's so many pitchers in the bullpen nowadays. You have so many pitchers on the roster that you can use so many during a ball game that probably makes it a little bit tougher. You know, guys don't have to, you know, cover as many innings. You have people coming in and just get three outs, and a new fresh arm comes in, gets three outs, and a fresh arm comes in and gets maybe seven outs, and then somebody comes in and finishes the ball game. It's kind of come to that, and I think if they're going to look to anything that's changed, I think that's what's changed. At least in my lifetime, it's gone from, you know, there was, you know, 10 guys on a pitching staff when I was playing. And I think that made it much more difficult for the pitching to do what these guys are doing nowadays. Is you just didn't have the big, deep bullpens. The starters were forced into going a little bit deeper. You know, the real good guys, of course, they were getting a lot of complete games back then. So I think that's probably the thing that's changed in baseball. If you want to look at something to blame it on, I think it's the way – just the large pitching staffs and the way they're used nowadays, it's created a lot more velocity in the game throughout the entire nine innings, that sort of thing. If I had to, pick on something, I think that's where I would go.
Bob, everybody buzzing about the trade deadline and these weeks leading up to it. And I'm wondering, if I told you you're going to sacrifice a few pitching prospects, maybe even a top five, top 10 guy or two, to get somebody big in here like a Vladimir Guerrero, would you be inclined to do it or to protect those assets?
The minor league assets are you talking about?
Yeah, prospects.
The guys in the minor leagues? Yeah, I would trade prospects to make the playoffs. I think that's, what they're looking at right now is trying to figure out, who would be the best to get. I think we have, maybe a little bit further to go as far as proving we're playoff ready right now. But then you think, well, what's the missing? Why aren't we playoff ready? And then you say, well, we don't score enough runs. Why don't we score enough runs and let's get some hitters? So, I totally understand the argument, and I think with a improved offense, we should be okay. As long as the two young guys are allowed to pitch, the rest of the season and into the playoffs. I think if you missed any of those two guys for any length of time, I think you're going to be a little bit of trouble. So there are some other things to think about, but just in a perfect world, yeah, would you give prospects up for a legit big league impact type hitter that would go into the middle of the lineup and provide, RBIs and runs scored? Yeah, I would take that. But, it's always like, well, who's the player and what's the trade exactly before you can really say yes to it?
Yeah, for sure. It feels like the team you were on, one of the teams you were on, way back when, had an all-time example of, listen, we're going to give up a prospect who might be very good. In that case, I believe it was Moises Alou, but we're going to get a guy that we feel can push us over the top, especially against a team we have to get past, which is the Mets. And that was Zane Smith. So you got a guy who helped you at the time. You gave up a guy who became a really good player. To me, that's a win-win. How did you guys feel when that trade went down?
Big leaguers looked at minor league prospects differently back then. Back then it was, who are these guys? They've done nothing. They're unproven. They might just be flops. You're getting a proven big league pitcher that is the exact type of guy we need in our rotation to help us get by the Mets, who are not nearly as good against left-handed starters as they are right-handed starters. I mean, that was a no-brainer. They had to make a move like that, and they went out and they did it. And you didn't know what Alou was going to end up being. He ended up being a great player. Well, okay, great. That's win-win, like you said. But, it's easy to sit here and say because you don't know, but I don't think we win maybe any of those division titles, much less three straight, without having Zane Smith in our rotation.
Bob Walk on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. All right, we have Perez against Charlie Morton tonight. Charlie Morton's just an unbelievable all-time story, Bob. Did you expect in any way that once he left here that he could have the kind of career that he's had? I mean, he's one of the most accomplished postseason pitchers around.
Yeah, it's a surprise to me, to be honest with you. It wasn't because he left because his stuff was bad. He's always had this tremendous stuff. When he was pitching with us, he had great velocity on his fastball. It's an unbelievable movement. A great, hard, big breaking curveball. When he left us, to be honest with you, I thought maybe he had the Steve Blass thing. The last couple times I saw him pitch, he couldn't throw a ball through an open doorway. It was getting that bad. It's just a supreme loss of confidence is what he had.
Yeah.
And he was a smart guy, though. I'll tell you, you ever sit down and talk to him, really smart. He would sit there and he could tell you exactly, what was wrong with him and what's going wrong, but it's like he couldn't fix it when he was actually out there on the mound. And somehow he got it figured out and he developed into the pitcher when he first came here, he pitched pretty well for us a number of times. I mean, he was good. He was solid. He just kind of fell apart control-wise was to me what really happened. But that's what he figured out, and then he went back to being that guy that could go out there and just dominate because of the great stuff he had once he figured out, how to put the ball where he wanted to. Now, I don't know. I'm going to give a ton of credit to Charlie because I know how smart he was and how he was going to get it figured out. He hopefully just needed time. But also, he probably ran into the right coaching there at the time, and somebody said something maybe that really clicked with him, and he is what he is. Now, he's not quite the great stuff guy that he was, say, even 4 or 5 years ago, but now he's a little more wily out there, a little clever. I think now he just kind of wants to see how long he can actually keep it going. It's kind of a challenge for him now.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Bob, let's talk a little Paul Skeens. That event is happening again tomorrow, and it feels like there's a lot of people in baseball, when I watch some of these shows and things like that, who believe that all he's doing is blowing people away with the fastball. The numbers actually say that they're hitting the fastball. They're hitting the heat. But this guy is actually pitching. He's actually, you know, gone to his other resources to get people out. I'm wondering, as you're watching this, are you surprised to see a kid this young who's punched back, you know, before the league has really punched him? You know what I mean? He's an actual pitcher at this young age.
No, I'm not surprised because again, we're going to go back to like what we were talking about with Charlie about the command that he has. And it's not just throwing a fastball where he wants to. I mean, he throws all of his pitches for strikes and even literally just kind of both sides of the plate. He can, the splitter, for instance, he can move that to either side of the plate, depending on how he wants. Now, not every time. He throws a wild pitch here and there, you know, throws one up, you know, head high to somebody or bounces it in the dirt. Everybody does. But for the most part, especially for somebody that's as young as he is and inexperienced, the command that he shows out there is just outstanding. And, if he goes out there and he say, you know, he's throwing 199 and guys are lining up, hitting the ball hard, then, yeah, he's got a lot of other things he can go to. And he's already done that many times. And then there'll be a day where, you know, they're really worried about, okay, we got to stay back. We can't be, you know, swinging and missing at that splitter all the time. We got to wait a little bit. Wait a little bit. Well, if you wait on a guy that throws 100 mile an hour, you got no chance on the fastball then. So, guys have been hitting the fastball because that's all they're concerned with. They're going up there thinking, I can't let him throw the ball by me. But that opens up so many other avenues where they can get a swing and a miss. Now, one thing that I have kind of noticed about him is that there's not that pitch. The splitter can maybe be called this a little bit, but the pitch that goes in there with a late sharp break that can get an easy swing and miss. He doesn't seem to be, I don't know if he possesses that. He doesn't seem to throw that much. You know, he likes the sweeper or the bigger curveball. And so you're seeing a lot of foul balls, foul ball, foul ball, foul ball, which, you know, leads to some long counts. And look at his stats. Look what he's done right now. I mean, I am the greatest nitpicker here of all times. But the nit that I would like to pick is he needs to do a better job with a swing and miss pitch and have, you know, some more, you know, 4-pitch strikeouts, 5-pitch strikeouts. Not, you know, where he gets ahead of the count and then they foul 3 or 4 balls off and then he gets a fly out or then he gets a ball put in play or then he gets a strikeout. And it's taken him, he's had to work too hard to get it, especially with the command and the stuff that he has. So I want to see him get his ratio, I guess, of swings and misses per pitches thrown to go up a little bit, those foul balls to come down. But like I said, he's doing phenomenal without doing that. And so I'm really looking for something to pick at right there.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how fast he continues to make up ground in the NL Rookie of the Year race, if he'll be an all-star, all of that. I'm curious, Bob, of all the phenom pitchers you've seen jump right into the big leagues, from Dwight Gooden to, Bird Fidrich, Ron Guidry, Fernando Valenzuela, who was the one who's the one that stands out in history for you? And where does Skeens rank with that guy, whoever it might be?
The one that jumps out to me that I actually saw would have been Doc Gooden. Very much a similar type pitcher, an absolutely explosive, overpowering fastball. And he had a great overhand curveball, kind of Nolan Ryan-like, that we'd get a lot of swings and misses also. Those two guys, he was unbelievable in the minor leagues. I was in in AAA at Richmond with the Braves before the Braves released me. And we were in the playoffs. And so I got to see him. He came up out of A-ball all the way to AAA just to pitch in the AAA playoff game against us. And so all of our guys, you know, most of our guys had already been called up September, but all of our guys were like saying, oh, this A-ball kid is supposed to be a big strikeout guy. Well, you know, we'll show him. And he went out there, threw nine innings, struck out about 12, totally shut us down, won the game easily. And at that point, he was like 19 years old or something like that. And I'm just like, man, this guy is incredible. And then I think it was just the very next year, he went up there and just exploded on the big league scene. And I mean, you know, did he win the Rookie of the Year Cy Young at the same time?
I think so.
Or maybe that might have been, maybe that was Fernando. I don't know, one of the two. But it was like just crazy seeing this young kid that just had an unbelievable arm just going to the big leagues and just dominating major league teams. And that's what I see Skeens does.
Social media's biggest loser, Donnie Football, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. Donnie's lost pretty much half his person. He's just football now. There's no more Donnie. It's worked for him. Bob, a totally separate subject is all-time windups. I don't know why, but I stumbled upon Louis Tiant's windup today, the one I used to imitate in wiffle ball. I still don't know how he did it. He would turn his back to home sometimes, then just kind of jerk his head up in the air and then come back around and pitch. That's my all-time favorite pitching windup is El Tiante. What are some that come to mind for you?
Dean Chance would be my all-time favorite. Old California Angel. Actually, he's probably been a Los Angeles Angel. It was that far back.
What would he do?
Just a big, huge windup where he would, you know, definitely look straight to center field before he threw home. The other reason I can remember that was because when I was a little kid, Angels were my favorite team. So he was my guy. And, Juan Marshall, the classic leg kick would be another one that I think everybody would have to go with.
Yeah.
And I really like Steve Carlton too. That was a guy that, excuse me, I watched for a long, long time. And he was just an unbelievable pitcher, but just a classic, nice leg kick, unbelievable pickoff move to first base with that leg kick.
Mm. Yeah, a few others for me. Jim Palmer with that straight big leg kick. Yeah. Of course, Teak with the submarine. Those guys always fascinated me. And then Nelson Briles, walkie. When I was a kid, one of my first images. Oh, my God. The 71 series, I think I was 5 years old or something, but I remember it captured me because he would go to the ground.
Yeah, he would have to go. He would go airborne and come in for a landing. That was pretty amazing.
How do you throw strikes doing that?
Yeah, the ball's gone before he did all that stuff. So I guess that was just that's the effort that he was putting into everything. That's for sure.
Man, I love that guy.
Hey, go on YouTube. There got to be a Dean Chance there someplace. Take a look. See what you think.
I'm going to do it right now. What did you think of Tiant? I was going to surprise him. By the way, he just turned 81.
Tiant. Well, when you were talking about Tiant, that kind of reminded me of Chance because they were very similar. I like Tiant because he used to do that when he went in the stretch position.
Yeah.
Where he would kind of shake his glove and stop about four times. Couldn't get away with that nowadays, but that was kind of a cool, clever thing he did back in the day.
I'm looking at Dean Chance right now. This is incredible. I didn't know he was a basketball player either.
Oh, he was a big star there in L.A. for a while. He's, I think, made the Hollywood scene and stuff like that.
Do you keep your own baseball cards, Bob? I just looked at Dean Chance's baseball cards. Do you have any lying around the house?
Mine? There's some boxes full of them because the card companies would send you like a big tube full of your own cards every year. And I wouldn't throw them away. I'd just bring them home and give them to kids. And so I'm sure there's cardboard boxes of them up in the attic. I know that for a fact. But I haven't looked at them in years.
Who was the most legendary hitter you ever faced?
Probably the best hitter would be Tony Gwynn, for sure. I think he would be he was, his stats speak for themselves. So, you know, what he did as a hitter, if just a pure hitter, it would have to be him, you know. But I mean, I've faced Pete Rose. I've faced a lot of guys, but I think Gwynn was probably the best. And it got toward the end. Leland gave me some orders against him one night. He said, don't do anything to him, but throw him fastballs, one right after another, and put him in the up away corner of the strike zone. Don't do anything else all night long. And I go, well, he'll get a hit to left field. He'll pop up a couple times and hit a ground ball to short. That'll be 1-for-4, and you'll be successful. And so I did that, and sure enough, you know, that's what happened. And I probably pitched against him for another 3 years and never threw him anything. I was always trying to fool him and do this and do that. As soon as you'd throw him a curveball or something, and that's the one he'd pull down the line for a double. So I just started throwing fastball after fastball. But seriously, he was the most unbelievable hitter that there was in the time I played.
Remember when Pete Rose had the 44-game hit streak and Gene Garber broke it and Rose was mad because he used a changeup? What was your opinion of that?
Well, Garber threw 50% changeups. That's all he threw, fastball changeup, almost all the time. That's what he was. He was a changeup pitcher. I didn't, you know, really think anything of it at the time. I mean, he had a couple bats against Larry McWilliams. I think he either hit a one-hop shot or a line drive back at McWilliams earlier in that game, if I remember correctly.
Hmm.
But
you think anybody will ever get close to
that? Probably really. No, I don't think so.
To 56.
That's crazy. Especially, you know, maybe they'll move the mounds back 3 feet. Who knows?
I mean, Brian Reynolds is having an incredible streak right now, and he's not even really close to halfway there.
Yeah, I think how well he's hitting. You know, and that's another thing too. Is everybody? Oh, nobody can hit. Nobody can hit. Well, no, there's guys hitting all over the league. And here's one more thing, too, that's changed over the years. It's the approach to hitting that's changed. The importance of trying to hit home runs and the lack of importance on not striking out.
Yes.
Now, if you go back 30, 40 years, home runs were important to maybe two or three guys in the entire lineup. The rest of the guys were just trying to get base hits, which meant put the ball in play and not strike out. You know, you go back and you know, you watch some of those old games from the 60s and 70s. There's a lot of guys. They're just up there, you know, they're choking up. They're not taking much of a swing. They're trying to hit a little line drive somewhere and get on base. And, you know, they're hard to strike out. Strikeouts nowadays, look how high strikeouts are, way up there. In years and years, strikeouts have been way up there.
Yeah.
And it's not all the pitching. It's because of the strategies that the hitters are using nowadays. Their approaches are, hey, I don't care about striking out. I care about, you know, trying to drive the ball, you know, to the outfield. Get the ball in the air and drive the ball to the outfield. And, yeah, you're going to hit more home runs that way, but you're going to get strikeouts and the batting averages are going to come down. And, you know, that's been happening for a long time, too. And I don't know why all of a sudden this year everything's taken a big dip. You know, but it's been taking it downward, you know, going down for a while now. That's why they got rid of the shift, is because they're trying to find reasons why nobody can hit. Well, big pitching staffs and the strategy of hitting, those are two of the big changes over the last two or three decades that have taken place. And, you know, I would look there before. And now, can you make rule changes against that? I don't know. Well, actually, big pitching staffs came about because of rule changes, you know, how many people you can have on a pitching staff. They even had to make a rule to where you can't have more pitchers than you have players. You know, that has to be even now. Well,
I like this, Bob. Rule, you're heating up as the game goes on here. You're like Verlander in the seventh, eighth, and ninth.
I mean, that rule was never there before. Why'd they do that? Well, because they knew if they put in a DH where you didn't have to do as much pinch hitting, that you're only going to have an extra catcher and maybe two extra players at most on the bench, and the rest of the team was going to be pitchers. So they had to put that rule in.
Right.
Because you've gotten to the point to where, you know, people don't like the fact, oh, pitchers only go 5 or 6 innings. Well, in reality, that's all they really need out of those guys, right?
Yeah.
Because you got a ton of guys in that bullpen, and if those guys are any good down there, then why not bring in the fresh arms?
So, that's what everybody's doing. What do we have to do to get you on camera here, Bob? Does your phone have a camera on it? We need to have you on 93.7 The Fan on the monitor. Limits, can we get him on camera?
I'm not a pretty guy.
None of us are.
In fact, I'm not even at home right now. I'm down at my buddy's shop, C&G. We're sitting down here talking about cars and stuff.
Well, that's why God invented phones. Do you have a phone camera? Limits, can you arrange this?
I can try. I can send Bob the link. If you'd like, we tried at the beginning of the year, but Bob opted for the phone call. So
I figured he would.
Rode that out.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, we'll keep trying this. Bob, that was great stuff today. Thank you.
All righty. We'll talk to you. Hey, say hi to Paul for me, will you?
I will. I certainly will.
All right.
Thank you, Bob.
All right. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
This is classic. I mean, can't you just picture Bob down at the garage? They're talking about tires and steering wheels and oil and things like that.
You heard the phone ringing in the background.
Great stuff.
The doorbell.
That is fantastic. All right, we're going to finish with a rousing rendition of Tex in the City.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. I have pre-vacation elation already setting in. Next Friday, I'm going to Cape May.
Nice.
Next Tuesday, I'm playing Laurel. I'm going to Montana later in the summer. I'm very excited.
What's in Montana?
Mountains, sun, trails,
not a lot of people.
And not a lot of people. Just my wife and I.
Very nice.
I mean, I'm sure there will be some other people. I accidentally won a trip to Montana.
Congratulations on all your success.
Thank you. At one of these golf tournaments, I bid on it, not thinking I would win. I won. I thought it was a golf trip to Montana, I have to admit. But it turns out it's just a trip, like, out to stay at this, I guess, bed and breakfast type place.
Now, did you realize that you were bidding on it, or did you pull a friend, Joey Tribbiani, and try to guess what the price was of the
trip? It was close to that, man. But what it is we're going to be out in the wilderness of Montana. Perhaps some romantic flames spark up, right?
Very nice.
And I don't know what we're going to do. I honestly thought it was a golf trip that I was trying to win. But who knows? Have you ever been there? Montana? Yellowstone Park?
No. The only time I've been to the West Coast was to L.A. twice. I've never been anywhere else on the West Coast other than there. That's not West Coast. Was that Mountain West? Is that Mount West time?
Yeah, I think we fly into Missoula, where the University or Montana University, University of Montana, whatever it is out there. How do you think my legal battle against the town of Sewickley turns out here? City limits.
Not well.
Should I take them to task for this, what I thought was a bogus parking ticket today?
I think you can try. Texters have continued to give their own opinions and say that there's a double standard. And
What is the Hawk Tua going on here? What is that?
Oh, no. I was hoping you'd bring this up at some point. Have you watched the video of the Hawk Tua girl?
No, what is it? I have to know. Everywhere I look now, it's a Hawk Tua thing.
Yeah, so there was this... Oh, man. So, it's funny because Pony actually asked this on Monday, and Mueller was trying to fill him in. It was the same situation where we knew eventually it would come up. So, I'm going to tread lightly here. You got to look up the Hawk Tua girl because there's a video of what she says. She said that's what she says, but there's a lot of context that is missing for it.
Okay.
And something that fits the Pony and Mueller show. Remember the diss track that... this is the best way I could put it. Remember the diss track that Callis made about the very beginning with the PM team?
Yeah.
Sex, drugs, and alcohol?
Mm-hmm.
Look up Hawk Tua and it'll the Hawk Tua girl. It'll make a lot more sense.
I'm sorry I brought it up,
yeah.
But apparently it's involved here in the Kyle Filipowski situation. Yes, she allegedly put that Hawk Tua on him in high school and he fell in love. That's what it says on this social media post.
This is so much funnier because you have no idea what it means.
This is unbelievable.
I will tell you at the end of the show what it means.
Am I in trouble now?
No, you are not in trouble.
Okay.
It's just hilarious.
All right. Well, let's get to Text in the City then, shall we? Now I'm frightened that I've ended the week and ruined my vacation because I'm going to get fired for this.
You are not going to get fired.
What's cooking brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. And fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. 24 Silverado LT crew cab up to $7,500 in rebates. Full terms and qualifications at sunchevy.com. High of 87 with sunny skies. Yes, I know. That's why I'm golfing. All right, let's finish with a couple texts, shall we?
Joe in Lawrenceville. I enjoyed the interview with Rowdy. I loudly booed him back in May. Looking forward to cheering for him next week.
And there's nothing wrong with that. That's pro sports and that's being a fan, right? And Rowdy seems aware of that. When it's all going well, you can do nothing wrong. When you're not playing well, every single little thing becomes a problem. And sometimes it's bigger than that. Like he admitted he's probably said the wrong thing there with the Bednar situation because, you know, Rowdy's a six-month guy in Pittsburgh and was telling everybody how to behave. But he owned it. He's moved on. He's playing well and it's all good. Next. That's a 9.
Joe in Limits, this homestand for the Pirates versus three teams they are chasing in the wild card, I believe will be the management's decision on whether or not they're buyers at the trade deadline. And he texted it in all caps.
What?
It was texted in all caps.
What did he say?
I said what he said.
What did he say?
The next three series against teams they're chasing in the wild card, other than this Atlanta one, the one against St. Louis, throw in Milwaukee there, and same thing with the Mets. Are going to be what determines whether they're buyers at the deadline.
We already said that.
That was also the text.
That's a 0.
Next text. Ryan from Gibsonia, text in the City Hall of Famer. Paul couldn't take the thought of his daughter bringing home a nice tan Ron cooked from yesterday's show that he had to take a personal day.
That ruined his day yesterday.
It did, poorly.
The whole, we were trying to... give examples in our lives of what the Belichick thing would be like. And for City Limits, it would be him. For you, it would be dating Rose from Titanic,
Rose,
the narrator.
That I still have not looked up.
Next.
What are we rooting for Kenny Pickett? What is there to root for? Are we rooting for him, basically? Just continuing to repeat himself. But the point is, do we root for Kenny Pickett? Should we root for Kenny Pickett? People were saying that it was endless radio talking about Pickett, even though we've not talked about him in months.
Screw them. They get a 0 out of 10. Last one here.
Have a question for Joe. The Blue Jays hat that you continue to wear, visions of Vlad Guerrero, perhaps, from Mike in Homestead?
Could be Mike in Homestead, but the reality is I have a connection to the Blue Jays with my dad and my daughter. I grew up in Buffalo, loving the Pirates, incidentally. They were my favorite team, fell in love with them in 71, as I was just saying to Bob Walk. And certainly 79 when I was older and, you know, have actual memories of that. But the closest baseball team to us was in Toronto. My dad used to take me to Exhibition Stadium, which was a CFL football field that they stuck a fence in the middle of and called it a baseball stadium. We were there for the first game in Blue Jays history. I believe Doug Ault hit 2 home runs. Went back up there frequently, saw Roger Clemens pitch against them for the Red Sox at the Sky Dome. And then years and years later, took my daughter when she was little and wanted to spend time with me all the way to Toronto, and we became Blue Jays fans for a little while. I don't remember why we went or who played, but it was fun. They were good. I like the Blue Jays. That's all. I give that a 9. It was a good question. And I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Give it an 8. I hope you have an even better one.
Thank you, City Limits. Big wiffle ball match this weekend.
Yeah, there's a tournament we're playing in. We'll see how it goes. I don't know how many guys I have for Saturday, but week 8 of the Baldwin wiffle ball season on Sunday. It'll be
What's
fun.
What's your record?
We're 9-5, first place in the league.
Any homers for you?
I have 7.
What?
Yeah.
Over the fence?
Yeah.
Now, do you trot around the bases then in wiffle ball? Yeah. Proudly?
Proudly, yeah.
With bat in hand? That's what I do at the beach. If I hit a wiffle ball homer, I'm taking the bat with me.
Well, I don't take the bat with me, but, you know, our league's different with how we play. It's basically like baseball wiffle ball, but we also play in a different league where it's traditional yellow bats and regular wiffle balls. I hit one off the very top of the fence. It's like a Fenway Park type of wall in terms of just how high it is. And it was like 2 inches away from going over the fence, and I was upset. I don't have a home run in that league yet.
I'm very proud of you, Limits.
Thank
I'll see you Monday.
Have fun golfing.
And will I see you Monday?
Yes.
Bye.
We have a guest for Monday as well, I'll tell you about.